Morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I'm so glad that you're all here as we continue this green and growing season after Pentecost, as we gather together as God's children. Thank you for being here. If you are watching on the internet and all, it's good because someone might have needed for you to be here. So I'm glad that you're here with us today. We have Sunday school bags in the back for children today. If there's a child here, if you're going to have a child visiting at your home, time to look at that and grab a bag for those kids. It's a story. There's a craft. There's all kinds of things that allow them to see how much it is that God loves them. This Thursday in the evening, we continue our Bible study. We begin at 7 o'clock, we're in the parlor, and we're looking at chapters 13, 14, 15 in the book of Acts as we begin the mission of the church out to the ends of the earth, as we begin watching Paul and Barnabas and others. So if you are interested in any of those things, join us Thursday evening, 7 p.m. in the parlor for Bible study. Today, at the 10:30 service, we will be celebrating Confirmation Sunday for two of our young people, for Libby Hurley, for Tatum Wernz. As they affirm their baptisms and step into responsibility for their faith, I hope that you will pray for them and for their families and join us in welcoming them into full fellowship of the congregation. Next Sunday is July 4th, you know, and so because of that holiday, we will have but one service here at St. John's at 9:30. So that's for all of you. So you guys will have to come a little bit later, and the 10:30 folks will have to come a little bit earlier, and all of you who are watching at home will have to tune in at a different time. But it's at 9:30 next Sunday. We will be singing patriotic hymns. We will be giving thanks to God for the many blessings that we enjoy. So join us at 9:30 next Sunday, the 4th of July, for worship. We also want to say thank you to our new financial secretary. Joyce Fishbaugh has graciously stepped into that position, and thanks also go out to Barbie Cavalt for her years of dedicated service. It is always a good and pleasant thing when God's people work together, and it's just something that we can and should celebrate. We've gathered this morning to add our voices to those across time and space, giving God our praise and thanksgiving. We have gathered this morning to be in worship. So let us then continue our worship by rising. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our gathering song is Your Love Never Fail. We sing together. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we implore you to hear the prayers of your people. Be our strong defense against all harm and danger, that we may live and grow in faith and hope through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson this Confirmation Sunday comes from the third chapter of Lamentations, beginning with the 22nd verse. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust. There may yet be hope. To give one's cheek to the smiter, and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson comes from the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning with the 7th verse. Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in the 5th chapter. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. She was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up from behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed from her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl began to walk and walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and he told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For Jairus and his family, the last 12 years had gone by in the blink of an eye. The joy that they had found in each other and in their daughter. The exciting days as she grew, smiled, and brought life into the household. The long days when she was showing her temper. And then there were these dread days. Sudden illness, clinging to life, the light slowly fading. But for the woman who came to see Jesus today, the one who came to come and touch his cloak, the last 12 years had been an eternity of embarrassment and shame, of pain and discomfort. She had been rendered unclean, unable to take part in anything with family or friends, unable to worship. She was cast out, forgotten, undesirable, and each and every day sucked some of the life remaining right out of her. Jairus and the members of his household with him, they were pushing their way through the crowd trying to reach Jesus. Jairus had heard of Jesus and the wonders he had performed. He had heard of the teaching that Jesus was doing, extending the blessings of God to many people that his friends were offended at. Jairus was intrigued by the teaching, but he was pushing his way past people because he was counting on the wonders. He was looking for a miracle. The woman had suffered. Oh, how she had suffered at the hands of rabbis and priests under the ministrations of so-called doctors and healers and physicians, all for naught and all costing so much money. She had heard of Jesus and how he taught that God's love and forgiveness were for all. She had also heard stories of miraculous healings, of people blind from birth who could now see. She was in the midst of that crowd, although she knew she wasn't supposed to be. And she was there just to touch his cloak. That would be enough. She didn't want to intrude or inject her will or desire onto his busy day. She just wanted a small miracle, just to stop the bleeding, just to relieve the pain and discomfort. That was all. There was one thing that Jairus was nervous about, and that was that this was for his daughter. He was coming to Jesus for help with his daughter. Now, Jairus knew that women were not as important in Jewish society. And he also knew that Jesus, a good, pious Jewish man, was not even supposed to talk to a woman he wasn't related to. All of that ran through his head as Jairus was nearing the place where Jesus was. And he plunged on regardless, because if Jesus lived the love that he talked and taught about, then he would at least listen to Jairus' plea. So Jairus pushed on. The woman also knew that hoping for a quick touch of the hem of his garment was the best outcome. She was a woman. A woman declared outcast and unclean by everyone she had gone to for treatment for 12 years. If she had any hope for escaping greater embarrassment, she would go in, touch, and fade back into the crowd. It was safer. It was better. It was better for her. It was better for Jesus, is what she told herself. There would be no tricky questions. There would be no need for denials. There was no rejection from Jesus himself. She could see Jesus coming. But now he was turning to talk to someone. He wasn't coming her way right now, so she started to move towards him, and she mouthed a little prayer. And Jairus was before Jesus. He fell to his knees before him, begging for help for his daughter. His retainers explained who he was, and Jairus himself pleaded for his ailing daughter, not caring how it may sound to some. He loved his daughter. She was a light in his life that was dimming fast. He asked Jesus to come with him so that he might lay our hands on her so that she might live. And Jesus started to come with him. Joy beyond words fell Jairus as Jesus came with him to help. Jesus did live the love that he taught. He is God's chosen one. And then Jesus slowed. Because you see, the woman had finally caught up with Jesus in the crowd. He was talking to a man, someone that she had seen at the synagogue. She was close enough to touch his cloak. It was now or never. If she ever thought that this would work, now was the time to reach out in hope, reach out in desperation, to reach out in faith. So she reached out. She touched his garment, and something amazing happened. She was sure of it. You see, in the middle of this crowd and in the midst of all of this drama that we have been following, there is Jesus. He has been back and forth across the Sea of Galilee, teaching, healing, casting out demons, calming storms, and trying to get just a little bit of rest. He was surprised by the size of the crowds who were greeting him when he got off the boat. All of them were clamoring for his attention, for his care and assistance, for the love that he brings from God. Now, this is Jesus' ministry. It's not all of it or even the most important part of it, but it is what he is to be doing. He is here to help and to teach, to feed and to heal, to care about, to talk to listen to, and to be there for the disciples and the people in the crowds just like this one. That's why when Jairus came, he was moved. He can see the nerves on Jairus' face and see the condemnation on the faces of others around him as Jairus asks on behalf of his daughter, but Jesus cares. And God loves us all, male and female alike. He wanted to meet the daughter. He wanted to meet Jairus' family, so he followed. That was when he felt it. Now, I have no idea what it was like for Jesus when he knew that power had gone out from him. Power went out from him, called by that woman, called by her faith and her need. But Jesus felt it, whatever it was, and it made him stop in his tracks. As much as he wanted to go and help Jairus' daughter, he had to discover this amazing person who had touched him, whose faith was so strong that even the hem of his cloak sang out with joy. Now, the disciples were baffled when Jesus asked who did it. But the woman came forward. The miracle that she had hoped for had happened. And almost more surprising to her, she found the strength to come to Jesus in gratitude, explaining what it is that she had done, what he had done for her. Jesus looked at her with the kindest eyes she had ever seen. And he told her that her faith had made her well. Now, that might be partly true, but she knew that it was Jesus. That the faith that she had was in Jesus himself and in the love that he brought with him. She was content, ecstatic, actually. And she left that crowd rejoicing, and her life would be forever changed. Jesus continued on with Jairus, even through the tragic announcement that his daughter had died. And they finally made it to his home. Jairus arrived there crushed. His little light had gone out. He had tried to leave Jesus go as there was no longer any hope, but Jesus came with him. Jairus saw his wife and she rushed to his arms and wept. The mourners and the wailers were there making a cacophony of sound, and Jesus asked why they were there. The daughter was only sleeping, he told them. Then He took Jairus, his wife, some of his friends, and they went to see the daughter. Jairus' breath caught in his throat. There was his little girl, and nothing about her looked right. There was no movement. There was no smile. There was nothing that was her there. Then Jesus took her hand and said, "Little girl, get up." That was it. There was no fancy incantation or prayer. There were no complicated preparations. Jesus just took her by the hand and told her to wake up like Jairus and his wife had done dozens of times before in her life. Then the most amazing thing happened. Jairus saw his daughter return right before his eyes. The breath came, movement came, her smile returned. She was there alive and well. The light was back, and Jairus' life, his wife's life, would be forever changed. Jesus didn't care that they were girls. Now, the world around him did, but Jesus didn't. They didn't believe that Jesus should waste his time on people like that. But the love of God, which Jesus came to share, is for us all, girls and boys, well and ill, rich and poor, all are meant for the love of God. Those possessed by dark spirits need God's love, and those whose lives are going well need God's love also. Those who endeavor year after year with pain or failure, with weakness or illness, with poverty and struggle, need the love of God proclaimed to them. They need to hear that God is not causing the difficulty, but rather that God is with them through that struggle, leading them to a time of relief. Jesus came to proclaim that love of God in word and deed. Wherever he walked, he brought God's love. Wherever he stayed, the love of God was with him. Into all aspects of our lives, Jesus comes with that same love. And he calls us to share it always with whoever it is that we can. That is how we live as children of God, opening that love of God to all. This is how we live as followers of Jesus, bringing the love of Christ wherever it is that we go. And so from Lamentations to these two women, today we hear of the steadfast love of God for all people. May we cherish that steadfast love of God in our own lives, and then may we share that steadfast love of God however we can. Amen. Please rise. In remembrance and in celebration of our baptism, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us come before the triune God in prayer. God of hope, the ministry of your church extends across borders, from nearby neighborhoods to far and distant countries. Accompany all those who labor eagerly in service of the gospel, that through your good news all might experience transformation. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, we give you thanks for the air we breathe, the water we drink, the land that provides our food. Guard all species of plants and animals from harsh changes in climate and empower us to protect all that you have made. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Righteous God, we pray for nations and their leaders. Give them a spirit of compassion and steer them towards a fair distribution of resources, that none among us would have too much or too little. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. God of healing, your touch has the power to make us whole. We pray for those suffering from physical or mental illness. Embrace those who are sick. Surround them with your unwavering presence. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this assembly and all those gathered together in worship. Revive our spirits, renew our relationships, and rekindle our faith that we might experience resurrection in this community. Lord, in your mercy. God of fruit and vine, we lift before you our confirmation students. We ask that they may live the promises that they make this day. May the faith they claim as their own deepen and grow. And may Libby and Tatum shine bright with your love now and always. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for the faithful ancestors in every age whose lives have pointed us towards you. Envelop them in your love that we may be reunited with one another in the last days. Lord, in your mercy. We lift our prayers before you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Have a wonderful day as you go into the world with hope
to make God's name.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.